Let's begin with Inyani D'Yoyma. This week was a very big event in the Jewish world. The discovery of the video, a clip of the Chofetz Chaim. Now, I don't know if you're outside the walls of this building, this has captured, this event, this discovery this week has captured the hearts and minds of Acheinu B'nei Yisrael like never before. It's amazing. Wherever you go, wherever I've gone this week, the topic of conversation is, did you see the video? Did you see the video? He was wearing a very interesting hat. I don't know what kind of hat he was wearing. So let's just get some background about this event. This video was filmed in 1923 1923. This was the first Knesia Gedoyla, the Agudas Yisrael, not of America, of course, but the Agudas Yisrael of, I'm not exactly sure what they were called then. They organized the gathering of the Gedoyla Yisrael, and I'm not exactly sure what the purpose of this gathering was, to discuss different communal matters, and all of the Gedolim were there. It's just listening to the names of the people who were in attendance. Rabbi Chaim Oizer, the Chofetz Chaim, of course, Rabbi Meir Shapira, Rabbi Chanan, all the Rabbanim, everyone was there, and it was filmed. There was a consultant or a person that would filmed on behalf of a person whose name was Fox. His real name was Fuchs. He was a Jew, and supposedly he was a Shomer Shabbos. And in New York, he lived in New York. This company, Fox, which ultimately was bought out and became a 20th century Fox. Everyone knows that. Everyone's seen some of those films from 20th century Fox. They bought 20th century bought this company called Fox. They had two offices, one in California where they made Hollywood films, and newsreels where they produced news was in New York. And they had people all over the world filming things that were newsworthy, sending it to New York, and from New York they would select certain things and they would make it, they would produce some type of newsreels for people to see. So they had a consult. So this person is a big mystery why this was newsworthy for this individual to go to the Knesia HaGedoyla in Vienna and to film whatever he can get on his camera. I read in one of my magazines that the reason why he did this was because he knew that this individual who owned the company, who hired him, was a religious Jew. His name was really Fuchs. He changed his name to Fox.
All the industry except for Werner were Jewish.
And he thought that this individual who was Shomer Shabbos would find this interesting, would find this important, would find this to see if religious Jews get together for this event. Now, many people are asking, what is the Hashkocha process? How could it be that for 92, 93 years, this clip has been hidden from us? Until this point in time, we all grew up in the generation of the Chofetz Chaim, and of learning about the Chofetz Chaim, and the Sifri Chofetz Chaim, and Lashon Hara, and there's only one or two pictures. There's one picture that's on the cover of all the Sifri Chofetz Chaim, which we've all been told many times is not authentic. It's not a real picture. It's not really what it looked like. It wasn't really him. It's just and then there was another picture that was released later on. Everyone saw that picture where he's sitting at the end of his life in front of his home with his daughter and his son, and he has in front of a whole house, and his face is turned to the side. That became a very popular picture. That picture was taken right before he was Nifter. Right before he was Nifter was that. But a picture a little bit before, he in this picture, seemingly he was 85 years old. 85 years old in this picture, so that's approximately 10 years before he was Nifter. Coming to the Knesia HaGedoyla, it has awakened like it's incredible. You know, there are current events, things are happening every day in the news. Mitzitza B'peh, ISIS, and this event and that event and this concert. Most people you talk to, they don't pay attention to anything. And for some reason, this really woke up people to such a degree. People are talking hours. Everyone that I know, they're going to YouTube. They're doing things they never would have done to get a hold of this. Someone told me this morning that the rabbi, sure, here in the neighborhood, a very holy person, he told someone that he couldn't sleep the whole night. After he saw the video of Chofetz Chaim walking, he couldn't sleep the whole night. Haloi Davar, What a religious Orthodox Jew has to say, such an event, such a find, there's some hashkocha, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some shape or form is speaking to us. What's the message? Wow. So first of all, it's not a coincidence that this event happened against the backdrop of Parshas Tetzaveh. What is Parshas Tetzaveh? Parshas Tetzaveh is the tzura of the Kohen Gadol. The big day kahuna, the Shmoyne Begadim, who in the previous generation was the Kohen Gadol? The Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, Dvaram Pshutim, if Mashiach would have come, who would have been the Kohen Gadol? Pasha, the Chofetz Chaim would have been the Kohen Gadol. In the picture, the Chofetz Chaim is walking, and what's the tzur? His hands are clasped, his head is down. His head is down, he's looking down. Chazal, in this week's parasha, it says, you have to have the shemen l'moshcha bohem. This week's parasha is the inauguration of the Kohanim, the inauguration of the Kohen Gadol, and Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to take shemen amishcha and to be Moshech the Kohen Gadol. And what is the tzur? How are you Moshech the Kohen Gadol? Rashi goes to Gemara to take like a ki yivonis. And Rashi says, what is a ki yivonis? Kimoy nun shelanu. Like our nuns. In Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf, Daf Tzadiches, the Gemara talks about the letters of the Aleph, the Gemara darshans each individual letter, and when it comes to the letter Nun, the Gemara says Nun means a Nun, a Nemon Poshut, and a Nemon Kofuf. The letter Nun represents the concept of a Nemon, an Ish Nemon. And then the Gemara says, what about the letter Tzadi? Tzadi represents a Tzadi, a regular Tzadi and an En Tzadi, a Tzadi Poshut and a Tzadi Kofof. The Gemara asks the question, Hainu Nun Kofof Nun Poshut. And the Gemara says, Lohoisif Kefifa Al Kefifasai. An additional degree of humility. When you look at the picture of the Chofetz, the image of the Chofetz Chaim walking, he's Kofof. It's mamish. This week's parsha comes to life. The tsura manedar hoyu hakoyin gadol. You mamish. You saw this week against the backdrop of parshas Tetzave. You get a dogma of manedar hoyu hakoyin gadol. Not just tsura of the kohen gadol, but as the mashiach of the kohen gadol, which Chazal is telling with a nun. A nun, kitsura kinun, and nun represents a neman pashut, an individual who is a neman, a faithful person, pashut, a neman kofof. All of these images, all of these memory chazal, they come to mind. And what's the deeper meaning of all of this? So someone told me as follows. This is the message someone said to me. There has been no one, there is absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, no one in the previous generation that was a greater mitzapeh for Mashiach to come, Yeshua, than the Chofetz Chaim. In all of the writings of the Chofetz Chaim, all of the stories, everything we know about the Chofetz Chaim, he was the dogma of Tzipisul Yeshua. See, Pisa, the Chofetz Chaim had a suitcase. He was waiting for Mashiach to come. When he heard a rash, a commotion in the street, he immediately thought Mashiach might be. He took in a suitcase, he went out to the street. He woke up Klal Yisrael to recognize, you know, when we say in the Ani Mamim, Emunah Shem and Bevias HaMashiach V'yafi Sheyis Mameah Im Kol Zechakel B'chol Yom Sheyavo. This is serious stuff. This is not bummerizes. This is real stuff. We're waiting for Mashiach to come. The Chofetz Chaim was the dogma of a person that lived and breathed the inyan of Tzipisul Yeshua. There's no question about it. He was the last person alive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, after 93 years, 92 years, 3, I'm not exactly sure how to count the years, but after 93 years is being megale, the dogma of Tzipisul Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, you know, it's an Eis Ratzon. It's an Eis Ratzon. It's not so far-fetched for Mashiach to come. We all think, we read the news, many of us think, everyone thinks, no, not in my lifetime. Is Mashiach coming? I think we're more concerned about what we're going to eat at the Sudas Purim than about Mashiach coming. We're more concerned where we're going for Pesach and the next, the latest, the next, software update for iPhone 6. When is the latest update coming so we can download, so we can have more little pictures, a little menschelach for, what do they call those little things thing? We're waiting for the latest Mashiach. Yeah, we're getting there. There's Torah, there's Lakewood, the Ir HaTorah, there's Eretz Yisrael, and there's Kailim, adopt a Kailim. But it's not coming tomorrow. Mashiach, maybe 10 years, 20 years, maybe 30 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being toivea from us. It's real. It can really happen. It's around the corner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown us, Manedar Hoya HaKoyin HaGadol. He has shown us the tzura of the person, the dogma of what it means, Tzipisul Yeshua. Right before Purim, right before the Zman of Geula. This is a serious business. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being toivea, just yearned for it a little more than you ordinarily would. And maybe you'll really come. What are we going to do? Who knows? It's frightening what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. But it can really happen. How else can you explain the significance of such a major event? How can you explain such a thing? It's shocking. It's really, it has awakened people in this video. Besides Chafetz Chaim, you have the whole parish in front of you. Who else was there in the video? Rav Meir Shapiro. Do you know what happened? Yes, he's in the video for a split second. Do you know that this Knesia Gedola, that maybe even that day or the next day, was when Rav Meir Shapiro proposed the idea there should be a Daf Yomi? There you see him. You see him in the video going into the hall where he was going to propose Daf Yomi. That changed the whole world. You can't say not. It changed. Daf Yomi has revolutionized. And what is Daf Yomi? This week's parsha. Lahalois ner tamid. V'ata titzaveh espinei yishov yichwe lecha shemin zayi zoch kosis lamor. Lahalois ner tamid. The menorah is Torah shebal peh. The Talmud Bavli is Torah shebal peh. Lahalois ner tamid. You want to learn the parsha? Hashem gave us a parsha shir. There's Rav Meir Shapiro walking into the hall. Bruchim haboim. What is it? What else does it say? It says Yerushalayim. It says what was the other? I forgot. What does it say? That there were two things on the banner. One it says Bruchim haboim, and the other it said something about Yerushalayim. About something I forgot. You'll read about it over Shabbos. Who else was there? Rav Chaim Moshe Gudinsky was one of the biggest poiskim of the generation. His Piskei Halacha, Achiezer, everything today is built upon his Piskei Halacha. This week's parsha, the Choshen HaMishpat, Psak Halacha, Mishpat, Al Choshen has to be Kedas Torah. Hafle V'fela. Chavetz Chaim, the Kohen Gadol. It's not to be taken lightly. This is part hafeichba, hafeichba, dekulaba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. He's telling us, Mashiach, yeah.
Do we know the details of where this was found?
It was filmed again 92 years ago. It was sent to New York. And then in New York, it sat around in the studio, in Fox Studio. They never did anything where they developed the film. It was sent. The film was not developed. That was part of the deal. They were very scared that other people should get a hold of it and steal it. So it was Bedavka sent to New York in an undeveloped state. This is one of, they even had to show online the type of movie camera that they used. It was a hand movie camera where they had to roll with his hands. Motion to take the film, and it was in the studio for a number of years. I think they never made anything out of it. They developed it, they didn't do it, and it sat around for 57 years in a room in a box. No one knew about it, no one saw it, and then they decided to donate it to a university in South Carolina. South Carolina. They gave it to university and they catalogized it. They put it up in their private library for public viewing. Whoever wants to go to the university in South Carolina in 1980 can view this. Any person. You don't need any special privileges. You can go into the university, into the library, and go look at the films in the year 1980. Recently, only a couple of years ago, they've taken all the videos and they put it online. and I think on a YouTube channel, online, which means that the last couple of years, maybe like 5, 6 years, maybe even more, anyone who wanted could have gone and seen it, can see the Chavetz Chaim. It was only this week, or very recently, I don't know exactly this week, but very recently, someone went and they saw the Chavetz Chaim, and they said, you know what we see here? The Chavetz Chaim. And this week, Monday, Tuesday, it spread like fire. Like fire, the whole world is wherever you walk. I walk into Shul Mincha, they're talking about it. I go to Tar Vidas, the Rabbeim are talking about it. They showed it to all the children. My sister calls me, did you see the video? Talking about it, I watched it 10 times. Another person told me, I saw it, I fell off my chair when I saw it. But I'm sure I couldn't sleep. Wherever you go, they're talking about it.
How long is the video?
4 minutes. 4 minutes. And Rabbi Wasserman is there. Now they have interviews. They're on the radio. There are interviews, and they're arguing who is this person, who is that person. Everyone's trying to figure out all the little details. It has brought about an awakening. Now we think we are under the impression that to be woken up, we need Rachman Litzlan, another war, Chas V'Shalom, a major event. This has woken up people. Something so simple has woken up people to a degree that is just heads and shoulders above anything else in the news among us, among the Torah world. And again, the message is: don't take this lightly. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing this to us, the Hashem is speaking. No, I think it's 93 years. They write 92, but I don't know. I think I'm not exact. 92, 93. 93 is a very significant number in Shulchan Aruch and Halacha. There are 93 kalim. What? There are 93 kalim. It's a Mishnah. There are 93 kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. We say this in the Kinos. In the Kinos, it says that when Titus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they searched and the 93 kalim were not there. It's a Mishnah Masechet Tamid. And the Yerushalmi says, what's the significance of why there were 93? Because Hashem's name appears in Sefer Erzer Nechemiah 93 times. And that's a question. How you make the calculation? It's a significant number. Hashem, the Shemos, 93 years. There's something to it. The Chavetz Chaim was 85 years old. 85 is also very significant. Vayhi b'harsha, Vayhi ben Soharon. There are 85 letters in Vayhi ben Soharon, surrounded by the two opposite nuns. A nun kofuf, a nemun kofuf. So 85. What? So it's really not something to be taken lightly, and it's something to think about, to dwell upon, and to inspire us to maybe taka Mashiach will come. Halavai.
What you're saying is very Rabbi Schwab.
Yeah.
That he met the Chofetz Chaim one time. If you read it in the same.
Yeah.
He says he walked there.
His whole life, he had drushes. Yeah.
And he was waiting to talk to him, and the first thing the Chofetz Chaim said to him, "Are you a Kohen? I'm a Kohen. Are you ready? I'm ready." He was like taken so aback that he just didn't know what to say to him.
I didn't want to say that to you, bringing it up. If he was the Kohen Gadol, who was the Skan Kohen?
Oh.
Rav Kook. He
was invited. Rav Kook was also at this Knesset Gedol, I believe.
No, he wasn't.
He was invited. He didn't come?
He wasn't there.
Okay, but this is... HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. He gave us a beautiful gift. He showed us the dogma of the Kohen Gadol. Maneder hoya HaKohen Gadol. That's what we've seen this week. The Tzura of Tzipisa LeYeshua. Hashem is Toiveya, Tzipisa LeYeshua. That's the message you take out of the current events of this week. Okay, let's now go to this week's parasha. V'atot Tetzaveh Es B'nei Yisrael V'yichu Elecha Hashem and Zayizach. I believe this pasuk is the Makar on Chanukah. We have a very bizarre concept of v'lohayosh. They search for pach shemen v'loy matza el pach echad shayemunach b'choisamay shel kohen gadol. Since when was there a requirement that the shemen zayis for the menorah to have speed a seal with the kohen gadol? What's the badatz is good enough. You need the koi. What about the OU? The OU, Chafkei, the OK. You need the Kohen Gadol himself to go and put the chosim on the shemen for the menorah.
Was that his prime stat?
What? So someone has said that this was the stock he used for the Minchas Chavitin. All right, but the Poshim Shad is Vlohoya Sham Ela Ochoisam Pachecha Shayamunach Bechoisam Shal Koyin God. My high, what's going on? Where do you find the Makar? It was necessary. It was necessary. But the Kohen Gadol had to put his private chaisam. So the makar, why there is such an inyan. It's not a mitzvah. It's not one of the Tayyak mitzvahs. Comes from the first words of this week's parasha. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'atah on you, Titzaveh Espinei Yisrael, V'yikhu, they shall select, bring a lecha to you. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, none other than you, the head of Klal Yisrael, you shall inspect the Shemen Zayis Zoch Kosis Lamor and make sure that it's okay lahalois ner tamid. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Pshut Shel Mikra. Moshe Rabbeinu is being instructed. The word Viato is a very unusual word. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in this week's parsha. Parsha of Hester Panim. Parasha right before Purim, V'yanochi Haster Asterpana, his name is not mentioned, but to compensate, all of the Mepharshim say, to compensate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu's name because Moshe was Mispalu, Mochenina, Misifr Chasher Kasafta, if you don't forgive Klal Yisrael for the Chedo Egel, Hashem says, Nu Killas Chochem Apilu Al Tanai Niskayim, but I won't have your name mentioned in Parashas Tetzaveh, but I don't want to ignore you in Parashas Tetzaveh, so instead of, I'll say, V'atah, you. That's even to some degree even greater than saying the person's name. When you're talking to a person, you don't say their name. I'm talking to you. You need to say a person's name to get their attention. But when you have their attention, you don't have to say their name. Here it's even better. V'atah, you, Titzaveh Espenei Yisrael. V'yikhu Eilecha, they shall bring to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shemen Zayizach Kos Islam Ohar, and you shall inspect. Why? Obviously, we're dealing over here with the menorah. The menorah is symbolic of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is extremely delicate. It's extremely delicate because it's not in writing. It's transmitted by Mesorah, and then people can come along and they can pervert, they can corrupt the purity, the holiness of Torah Shebal Peh, Mechadesh Torah, that Shaloka Halacha, and therefore you have to be in charge of the menorah and make sure that the or that comes from the menorah only comes from the best fuel, the Shemen Zayizach. And therefore, as a symbolic gesture to show that the ones who have Shlita on the Torah Shebal Peh are only the people on the very, very top, and not every person has a right to come and Peshet Yad and start issuing Piske Halacha that affect Klal Yisrael, is Moshe, the leader, has to put the Chasima on the Shemen Zayizach. Moshe, during the Shiva Asimei Hamlum, was the Kohen Gadol. Moshe was Mishamish as the Kohen Gadol during the Shiva Asimei Hamlum. And from then on, obviously, this role of the Atot Tetzaga V'yikhu Eilecha was passed on to his replacement, Aaron. And throughout all generations, you have the item that is Munach, the Shemen, that's Munach B'davka, with the Choysim of the Kohen Gadol to Mekayim what it says in this very passage. Wherever you show in the midbar, Yaki has the same question with all regard to all of the things. Where do they get anything? Either they bought it from merchants, traveling, or they had it al derech neis, or they took with them from Mitzrayim. It's a good question.
They
were peddlers.
Only once.
Well, they lit the menorah for 40 years.
That lasted forever.
Okay, it could be whatever. Okay, whatever it was. Now here's the question. Now once we have this yisod, this itself is a very interesting yisod. This is the makar of that the choysam shel kohen gadol, the shemen that was used in menorah had to be sealed.
Every shemen.
This is l'dorais. Right. Just like v'yikhu elach, it's not one of the tayag mitzvos, but it was symbolic, and for all generations.
About Hanukkah, yeah. It was a nest that they could have used any other shemen. It always had shemen.
It's not ma'akev, obviously. They didn't have to use the shemen that's minim l'chasam shel kohen gadol. It definitely makes it embellishes the why they bedavka would want, because they would want to be mekayim in the way that it was meant to be. And the way it was meant to be is bedavka munach b'chasam shel kohen gadol, like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. In a chanami, it definitely enhances. It's not ma'akev. It's not listed by any of the money ha-mitzvos as one of the tayag mitzvos that the kohen gadol has to put a chasima on the shemen zayis. But you do see that's how it was done at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And by extension, that's how it was done for all generations.
You say more. You say there really was Shemazai. they wanted that.
B'dafka Moshe Rabbeinu, it had Moshe has to give the haskama. Moshe has to give the haskama. By the way, this by extension is one of the reasons why people today are very makbid in the Olam HaTorah is having a haskama on a sefer. There are many people will not publish a sefer unless they will get a haskama from their Rosh Shiva or from the various gedolei. That's the minhag Yisrael. You go to the svarim store, if a sefer does not have a haskama, it's not going to sell.
Well, that's because of that. People actually.
Where does it come from?
Because you had
Skila
and
Svara. Okay, but there is such an inyan of having a haskama. Why do you need a haskama? When a person is mechadish, he puts out a sefer, he puts out a chidushim. You have a haskama. What is the haskama? The haskama is the haskama is to some degree. In Achanan, there are many different reasons, but to some degree is a fulfillment of this the first two psukim of this week's parasha. The yikhu eilecha shemen zayizach. A person wants to be moitzi lo'or. That's what it's called. When you publish, you might say la'ar. You bring new chidushim, new Torah into the world. When you might say la'ar, it's like you're lighting the menorah. You're lighting the menorah. Is the oil kosher oil? So, of course it's kosher oil. What do you think? It's not kosher. I'm Hashem Torah mitzvos. But this, when it comes to the menorah, there's a hiddur of the yikhu eilecha Hashem en zayizach. You go bidavka to the Kohen Gadol. You get a haskama, you get a chasima from the Kohen Gadol that this indeed is Shemen Zayizach. This is an extension of the in Makor of a haskama comes from this parsha. Now, let's just go a step further. This is all very nice and fine and good, but wouldn't it have been better for Chazal to arrange the parshios when we lay in this parsha right before Purim, before Hanukkah? Over here, we're dealing over here with Shemen Zayizach, Kosis Lama, or Hanukkah is the holiday of the menorah. This is not the right time to lay in this parsha. We should lay in this parsha 2 months ago, right before Hanukkah. What do we lay before Hanukkah? We lay in the story of Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik was taken out of his homeland, out of Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, to a foreign land. He became the Mishnah LeMelech. And Yosef was dressed in the robes of royalty. And in fact, Yosef gave over to Binyamin Chomesh Chalifos Simolos, 5 changes of garments. And the Chazal say those 5 changes of garments that he gave to Binyamin was all symbolic of Mordechai, Yotza, Melefne HaMelech, Belevush Malchus, the 5 garments. So, L'chaira, wouldn't it be better? Doesn't it seem that we're a little bit mixed up? Hanukkah time, we're learning about Purim. There are numerous references to the miracle of Purim in the story of Yosef.
What can you do? Change
Yosef.
The
fascists? But what does it mean then? When it comes, in a regular year, the Shana Pshuta, in a regular year when it's not a leap year, Parshas Tetzaveh is almost always the Parsha Zohar, very more often than not, is Parsha Zohar, right before Purim. And Parshas Tetzaveh is the perfect Parsha to teach us about in Yonei Chanukah. The menorah, Shemen Zayizach, Chesama Shel Kohen Gadol. That's what it's all about. Right here, the first few psukim. And yet,
so why do we say Zohar on...
Not Zohar. Why hafeich ba the kula ba? It would appear that it should have been the other way around. So what's the answer? L'chaira is pashat. Chazal very clever in how they arranged the parashas with hashkacha was done in this way because the two holidays to a very large degree are linked to each other. A person should never make a mistake and think Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah all about? They want to destroy our neshamas. Purim is all about they want to destroy our bodies, our gufim. A person should not make a mistake and think that they survived. They survived. Oh, my guf has survived. Business as usual. The purpose of living, of being alive, is in order to develop one's ruchnius. When the ruchnius, the person is allowed to have ruchnius, the purpose is to take that ruchnius and sanctify the gashmius, to sanctify the guf. A person should not lose focus. It's Purim. They wanted to destroy the Jewish people. We survived. Very good. We survived. Mishteh v'simcha. But mitzvos, Torah mitzvos, the mechazik and Torah mitzvos, that's not what the holiday is all about. It was about killing. It doesn't make a difference if you were a religious Jew or you're a non-religious Jew. Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, didn't care if you're religious, you're not religious. You're a Jew, you're not a Jew. In his version, even if your father is Jewish, that's good enough for him to, for a person to be killed. The body is a physical body. The DNA is DNA. It's, the Torah is reminding us right before Purim, now that you have survived, your bodies have survived, your physical existence is secure, don't squander, don't waste it. Use it, lahaloi snare tomet. Elevate yourself spiritually. Hanukkah, when you're given religious freedom. So don't take your religious freedom and waste it. Take the religious freedom and use it to sanctify the guf. Hanukkah time, we focus on the guf. Purim time, we focus on the neshama, in order that we should recognize that the two are related to one another. The two have to be synthesized. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another short idea from the Bali Musar. First, one of the first Rashis, it says in the Pasuk, Kosis Lamaor. The oil that we use for the nurse shall be the finest. Shall be beaten. The first oil that comes out of the first beating. Not. Don't use for the menorah oil that comes from a second crushing. Has to be virgin oil. Virgin oil is extra virgin. It's an abuse term because extra virgin oil probably, well, they consider today in the market, extra virgin oil is probably not even kosher for the menorah. Because it's extra, what Chazal mean by virgin oil, it means
extra,
right? Something very, very special. This is what is required for the menorah, and the Chazal make a point in telling us from a deacon, the pasuk, v'loy la menachos. When it comes to the menachos require an enormous amount of oil. Every mincha requires oil. That does not have to be extra virgin oil. That oil can be. It's going to be second rate, class B. So the Bali Musar tell us the Patar is beginning this week's parash by telling a person to make sure you got your priorities in order. A mincha is symbolic of food. The minochas were eaten. It's the guf. It's delicious. The kohanim eat it. The ba'olim, the kohanim eat the minochas. Mincha represents parnasa. The lechem aponim represents a certain form of a mincha. The lechem aponim represents the parnasa for Klal Yisrael. When it comes to parnasa, that's not the ikar. The ikar is important. It means kemach in Torah. And all the kemach requires shemen. But the pasuk begins, get your priorities in order. This kosis la me'or, ruchnius, is your priority one. The menorah that produces the or ha-Torah, this requires the best of the best. Your best resources go for ruchnius. Parnasa, menachos, what goes in your stomach? Yeah, that's also good. But not as important as kosis la me'or. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in this week's parasha all the various begadim. With regard to almost all of the begadim, the command is written b'loshon rabim. B'loshon rabim, b'loshon yochid. For example, v'osisa mishpitzai sahaf. For v'osisa choshen mishpat ma'asei. V'osisa esa choshen. The osisa shtei tabos. Okay, when it goes to the tzitz or the meal, the osisa es hamil. The osisa tzitz. What? Which pasuk? Which pasuk is that? Read the pasuk. Oh, that's all the begadim. That's all the begadim in whole. But let's when we go down to the individual begadim, when every single one of the begadim, the word is written v'loshen yochid v'osisa. There's only one exception, the eifod. The eifod is the only exception. V'osu es ho eifod. My high. Why is the eifod the exception to the rule? Perhaps we could answer this question by going back and focusing on the kelim of the Beis Hamidrash back in Parashas Teruma. There, we also have something very similar. All of the kelim are written b'lashon yachid, v'yosisa. There's only one kli that was written b'lashon rabim, the aron, v'yosu es ha'aron. And there, all of the mefarshim tell us the reason. Because when it comes to Torah, everyone must have a chelak. When it comes to mizbeach, the ketores, when it comes to sacrifices, when it comes to the shulchan, the menorah, these are extras, specialties. Not everyone is a specialist. You have to sometimes, not everyone is zeichet to all of these things. But when it comes to Torah, every person must have a chelik in the Torah Shabbach Saf. The basics, Torah, the Medar is Torah Shabbat, that's already an embellishment, that's already a little bit more. But the basic, your connection to the Torah Misinai, the Luchos that were given Misinai, every Jew must have a connection, and therefore it's the Osu. What is the Ephod? We think that the Ephod was a garment that was only worn by a Kohen Gadol. That's the way it appears in this week's parashah. This week's parashah, there are 8 begadim, 4 begadim for the Kohen Hagid, and there are 8 begadim for the Kohen Gadol. But the truth is, if we study Nach, we learn very quickly that the Ephod was a garment that was worn by the Nevi'im. When a person got smicha from his Rebbe, you're a Navi. I give you smicha, you're part of the exclusive club, you got an ephod. You got an ephod. It says it in Shmuel. The Shmuel lavud ephod bad. Shmuel was not a kohen. Yeah, Shmuel lavush ephod bad. Shmuel was a Levi. If I'm not mistaken, right? He was a Levi. He was wearing an ephod bad. It says he was wearing an ephod. It says David. It says by Noiv Ira Koyhanim. They were all of these Koyhanim, they were all wearing ephods. All of them were wearing an ephod. Whoa, how many Koyhanim Gedolim are there? There's only one Kohen Gadol. There's a Sagan. There's a Kohen Sha'avar. So maybe you'll have a backup. You'll have two. You'll have three. Kohen Mashiach Mochama. A Kohen Mashiach Mochama. What's going on? We find hundreds of Kohanim wearing an ephod. So the answer is, an ephod is a garment. We've learned from Chazal, this Torah Shel Peh was a garment that was miyuchad for a person who is a person who has a Navi. In other words, a person who has Ruach HaKodesh. A person has Ruach HaKodesh. This is something which you earn the right to wear the ephod. Now it makes perfect sense why the only garment that's written b'lashon rabim is the ephod. Because just like when it comes to the oroin, there are specialties. Not everyone is going to be a gevir, has a shaychis to the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim, what it represents, wow. The ketores, only one coin, you only got a chance once in your life. You got to take a pious. Who's going to be zoichet to bring the ketores? These are very lofty things. For Klal Yisrael, there's going to be a ketores. There are korbonos, the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben arbayim. There's all these things. But when it comes to Torah, no excuses. Every person has to have a chelek. Likewise, when it comes to Ruach HaKodesh, the Mepharshim explained that to become a Navi, Ruach HaKodesh must rest upon you. You must be a holy person, a person of Yerei Shemayim. Every person has to have a chelek in being dressed in Ruach HaKodesh. Post-Torah is going out of its way to say the Osu Es Ha'Ephod. Every member in Klal Yisrael in some shape or form must contribute to this, that in Klal Yisrael there is an education, there's an environment, there's a seviva where people can grow in Yirah Shemayim, that people can be dressed in an ephod. Not everyone gets an ephod. Okay, not everyone is zeichet to an ephod, only the Bnei Hanavim. But everyone has to have a chelak in participating, in supporting an institution that produces people who wear an ephod. You have to connect yourself to that Ruach HaKodesh. That's the critical message in why only the ephod is written B'loshen Rabbim in contrast to the other begadim. Okay, let's go to another idea. What? It represents Klal Yisrael, like the Aron represents, but everyone has a chelik in the Ruach HaKodesh. It's shaykh to every individual. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is an intriguing idea. I saw that Rav David Feinstein speaks about this. This is a very interesting observation. And let's try to figure out I don't have a solution. I don't have a full idea, but let's just something definitely to think about. When the Torah begins with all the various begadim, it says the Eila Habagodim Asher Yasu. We have the Choshen, the Ephod, Umi'il, Luchsanis Tashbeitz. Okay, let me just go a little bit further. Okay, it tells you the Begodim what to do. Let me just find the right pasuk. Okay, here it is. Okay, Perek Chof Ches. Right in the very beginning of the parasha, V'yata, and you, Moshe, hakreiv elecha es Aharon achicha, bring your brother. Notice the emphasis on the word brother. Aaron, your brother, bring him near. V'yes banavito and his children. B'tach b'nei Yisrael l'chachanuli, to serve as priests for me. Aharon, the four children, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, V'samar, b'nei Aaron. And then Hashem gets down to the specifics. The Osisa Vigde Koidesh Li Aharon Achicha Lichavoidu Lisafaris. Okay, general introduction to what we're about to do. We're going to make garments, holy garments, and these garments for your brother, Aaron, your brother, are going to serve two purposes. Kavod, honor, and pe'er, tiferes, splendor. Two very nice words. What do these words mean? I have no idea. What do they mean? Kavod, tiferes. What does kavod mean? You know what kavod is? Kavod, tiferes. What's the difference? When you figure out what kavod is, you'll tell me the what tiferes is? All right, these are lofty concepts. Kavod and tiferes. Okay, whatever they are. And then, okay, and then, next pasuk, let's go weiter. The Atah, and you Moshe, Atah with an Aleph, you Moshe, to the Aber, I want you to recruit. Use your talent, go out and speak to the people, to the Aber, El Kol Chach Melev, recruit some good talent out there. Find some talent. Asher Milei Siv Ruach Chachma, and I want them to make the garments. So you would expect, Hashem say there are going to be 8 garments. There's the Nichnosayim, those are the pants. There's the Kesoines, the tunic, that's the shirt. Then there's the garatul, right? The knife, the avne, the garat, kohen gadol. And then there's the ephod, there's the me'il, the mitznefes, the tzitz. Did I leave anything out? What? The tzitz, the hat, the mitznefes. Separate. The tzitz is separate from the mitznefes. And with the eight begadim. Yet, shockingly, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu what the people are going to make, he only lists 6 of the 8. This is a very big question that there is very hard to find a solution for. The Atah, beginning of the parasha, Rav David Feinstein talks about this. V'atah new to daber al kol chachmei levashim lizruchem av yasu. It's big day Aaron lekadosh lachanali. First, by the way, he doesn't tell them to make a lekavod l'sefer. He just says make garments. The ele habagodim asher yasu choishen. That was the one I left out. Choishen is the breastplate. Okay, the breastplate. The ephod is the garment that goes that the choishen is attached to. The me'il, that blue garment that goes all the way down to the bottom. Kesoines tashbeitz. It's one word, it's one expression, the shirt that's made, that's twined. The mitznefes is the hat, the avnet and the belt. That's it. The osu vigdei kodesh li arun achicha ulvanov lechahanoli. Wait a minute, that's only 6. What happened to the michnosayim? The pants, the undergarment that covers the erva. And what happened? Doesn't say where.
No, and the tzitz is missing.
And the tzitz. What happened to those 2 garments? Where did they go? They disappeared. There were 8 garments. So what happened? Well, why is Moshe Rabbeinu being recruited to get people to make only 6? What happened? So what happened? I don't have a good answer. Okay, so before, let's just throw out some ideas. Let's just throw out some ideas. Idea number one. Rav David Feinstein says, he doesn't really answer the question why the 2 are missing, but he just points out that look at the 2 that are missing. The 2 that are missing are the most basic to the most exalted. What is the most basic? If you could only have 1 garment, okay? Give me your choice. You come into a room, you have nothing. Give me 1 garment. What are you going to choose? We all know what you're going to choose, right? The Nechanasayim. That's what you're going to choose. What garment is completely not necessary? It's pure. It doesn't do very much. It's the tzitz. The tzitz is just an ornament. That's so the most basic and the most exalted are the ones that are absent in the pasuk. What does that mean exactly? That itself is a very important idea. So first, obviously the fact that the 2 are missing means that there is a relationship between the 2. Now, I think we can very simply say the relationship is very simple, because what's the purpose of the Mechnasayim? To cover the erva. What's the tzitz? What does it say on the tzitz? Kodesh laHashem. What's the first Rashi in Parshas Kedoshim? Kedoshim tiyu ki kodesh ani Hashem elokeichem. The Parsha of Arayas, all the Arayas and Parsha Kedoshim. Bechol mokam sha'ata motzei geder erva, sham ata motzei kedusha. A geder of erva is where you find kedusha. The more gedor a person, you tell the person, don't. Chazal were masakin shniyos, a whole long list of women. that there's nothing technically wrong with marrying. Chazal said, no, you're not allowed to marry these type of women. Chazal Masak in the law of Ivamas. He learned the Shnios, a whole very complicated sugyas. This is all a geder of Erva. So there is something to it. It's not that even though one is the most basic and one is the most exalted, there is a very obvious connection between the two because the tzitz represents the spitz of Kedusha, Kodesh LaHashem, etched, embossed into gold. The Mechlasayim is the cover of the Erva, represents, it's Mechaper on Gili Arayos, on Erva. So obviously there's a connection. You're going to find Kedusha. So obviously we find already there is a connection. Then the Gitzer, he first says, well, you're going from the most basic, it's the two extremes. The most basic, the most extreme, which is Koilel, it's Koilel everything. So it doesn't answer why it's missing. Why is it missing? So I want to suggest, throw out an idea. I want to suggest an idea. What Mikar Hadin, when the person goes to the Beis HaKisei, did you ever see this? Before the person walks to the Beis HaKisei, he says, Hischabdu Mechubadim. There's an expression. Hischabdu, the Lord of the Shulchan Aruch, Hischabdu Mechubadim. You say these two words. It basically means, Malachim, I know I'm surrounded by a whole collection of angels. Wherever I go, I have an entourage protecting me. Malachim, I have to do my thing now. I have to go into the Beis HaKisei. I have to be Megala, the Erva, to some degree. There has to be a breach. The Erva, the Nichnasayim, have to be removed. It's not Bakovedik. For the Malachim should be present when this happens. So Malachim, stand outside. Maybe you should, you know, secure the bathroom, make sure we have no mazikim inside. Okay, now that it's secure, wait outside. I am going. And what is the expression we use? Hischabdu mechubadim. Kavod. It's meaning, it's like a euphemism. It's not lefi kavodcha that you should be in a mokaim where the erva is exposed, is revealed. That's what a Beis HaKisei is. Where the erva is not fully covered. And the term used is kavod. Lechavod. Or lesefaris. What is tefillin called? Hashem says to Yechezkel, Yechezkel, you are going to wear tefillin. You are going to be an avelis, but you're going to wear. This we learn from this that an avel only Yechezkel wears tefillin, but everyone else should not wear tefillin. It's not proper for an avel to wear tefillin because tefillin is called a pe'er. Pe'er chavush. The code for tefillin is the word pe'er. What is the tzitz? The tzitz is a form of tefillin. Chazal make many similarities. A person is mechuyif, not allowed to be meisiach das. When he wears tefillin, we learn it from the tzitz. Madach, the tzitz only has one shame, and when he wears the tzitz, he has to be tamid. It has to be contemplated by the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Likewise, when a person puts on a tefillin, alachas kam v'kamba. There are many similarities. They both go on the same place. The Chazal, in fact, yes, there's no place for tefillin. If you're going to put the tzitz is the place of tefillin. Oh, makom yesh berosh lo niach shtei tefillin. You can fit them both in. You can fit the tefillin and tzitz, they go on the same makom. It's clear as day that the tzitz is a form of tefillin that goes on the moyach of a person, bein einecha. And what is tzitz? What is tefillin? Pe'er. So now we can suggest, okay, this is not a complete idea, but it's a suggestion, because the question is so great. You read this parasha all the time, beginning of the latest Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha, with only six of the begadim. What's going on? Also, why is there repetition, Moshe? Hashem is telling Moshe, you make the Michnasayim, and you, Moshe, make the tzitz. And for the other six garments, get someone else. Go find someone who knows how to make these garments. That's what the Mamash would say in the Pasuk. We read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'ata, you Moshe, V'asisa, you Moshe shall make, V'gdei kodesh li'arun achicha. What kind of clothing shall you make? L'chavoid, hischadu mechubadim, that's for the erva, the michnasayim, ulesif ores, the pe'er, teferis, the tzitz. That's what you're going to do, Moshe. And for the other six, get someone. The atah, you furthermore, you, to daber el kol chachnei lev, Hashem, you listen to chachma, the yosu, and they will make The other garments, as Big Day, Aaron, the Kachel, the Kahano, Levi, Eila, Bagad, Mashal, Yasun, these are the garments that they're going to make, and they are the Chayshen, the Ephod, the Ne'il, the Ksanas Tashbetz, the Mitznefes, the Avnate, for a grand total of 8 Begadim. Possibly that's a mahalach. We have all 8 breaking up. Now that we have a taich of covenant to Ferris, and I have a raya, per chom shalecha, hischad mechubadim, first shulchan aruch. We don't do it today. We shouldn't do it today. It's mechsiki hara. But that's what the word really means. But what's the message? So I don't know. But perhaps there is some slight thing to think about is that charity starts at home. We all know that. Charity, there's giving charity to achicha, and then there's giving charity to people you don't know about. You give tzedakah to an organization, you give... When you give tzedakah to achicha, the Torah is telling you, when you come to dress your brother, what should you dress your brother? So, I don't know, I don't have a full answer, but the Torah is telling you, for your brother... The Torah didn't need to say your brother, by the way. It could have just said Aaron. It says, you Moshe of Yosisa Vigdei Kodesh Le'aharoin Achicha. When it comes to your brother, make sure he's not naked. That's your primary role. That's the first thing. L'chavot. That he should be dignified. The most, you know, the choshen is not dignity. This is icing on the cake to have a choshen. Have a nice meal. What are the other garments? The gartel, the avnate, the mitznefes, a nice hat. That's not so important. The most important, when charity starts at home, make sure that before you start giving your relatives like bonuses, give them narishkeit, fancy mashalach manos, instead of giving him a $500 mashalach manos, make sure he can pay the mortgage. Make sure he has, if you can help him out, the basics, the luchavot. And then there's an inyan of teferes. Teferes represents, that's the extreme opposite, but to make him feel good, to give him kavod. That when it comes to a brother, many times you think, listen, he has what he needs. He has basic necessities, he has parnasa. I don't have to go out of my way and give him the icing on the cake. That I'll leave for my friends. When it comes to a brother, don't forget he's your brother. And a brother, if you are going to give a person teferes, charity starts at home. And the charity that starts at home is the teferis that goes directly to the Aaron. It's a half-baked idea. But the points I'm trying to put together, which require further thought, is we have a pasuk. It only lists 6 of the 8 begadim, which is a major mystery. And you can't... What? Yes, the tzitz is the highest level of kedusha. Kodesh LaHashem, Shem Hashem. What?
The basics of the dignity of clothing.
So you want to say ruchnius? You want to say that when it comes to your brother? Okay, I like what you say. You're saying something very, very, very beautiful. You say that when it comes to your brother, you have to care for his basic needs. Make sure that his erva is not exposed. His basic needs, and you're responsible for his spirituality, because all the garments of the Kohen Gadol that represents true spirituality is the tzitz, kodesh LaHashem. The other things are just forms of garments. You have a responsibility to make sure that your brother is not an Am Ha'aretz, that your brother is a Talmud Chacham. That's what you're trying to say to somebody, right? You want to go the extreme thing of Ruchnius and the extreme Gashmius. That's your, don't leave that for the community to take care of. That's for you as a brother to take care of. We have 8 garments. We're breaking up the 8 garments into 2 groups. 6 for the community to take care of, and 2 for the relatives to take care of. The 2 that the relatives take care of are the Nichnosayim and the Tzitz. What does that mean? I don't know. You're saying something very good. You're saying that it represents the basic physical needs, the most basic, the Nichnosayim, that's clear. And you're saying spiritual needs, because from all of the garments of the Kohen Gadol, the one that is the most spiritual is the Tzitz. What goes on is the Moyach on his head that says Kodesh LaHashem. That don't leave for an organization to take care of. That is your full responsibility. Okay, something to think about these garments. Okay, let's go to another idea. The end of the parasha. We have the parasha of the Tamid. Very strange. Parsha the Tana, and all of a sudden Parsha's Tetzaveh. This is something you'd expect to find in Parshas Pinchas. And indeed, it is in Parshas Pinchas. Okay? So it's repeated here as well. Why is it repeated? So the answer is as simple. It's because it's part of the inauguration. Part of the Chanukah's part, it was the bring of the Korban Tamid, in addition to being brought every single day, was also part of the Mechanech, the Beis HaMikdash, to put everything in motion. Now, something very interesting. Here, there are two very small differences between the way the Parshas Tamid is presented, the Parshas Tetzaveh and Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Tetzaveh, it says the word Teninim. Okay, Vayidaber Hashem Tetzaveh Esnei Shel Vimarli Eskarbri Lachmi L'Shayrech Nichachi Tishmur Lachmi L'Modov Vimarli Mzeo Yishay Shatik L'Hashem Ki Vosim B'nei Shonoho Sininim Sininim Shnayim Layoim Oilo Samid Sininim with a severe. In Parshas Tetzaveh, and search back and forth, you're not going to find the word Teninim. Doesn't exist. Halfway with Ella. By the Chanukah San Mishkan, the word Teninim was not required, which basically means Chazal tell us that when they inaugurated the Mishkan, they brought this Karban Tamid, if it was Mechusar Eiver, it was okay. Is Mechusar Eiver okay? Yeah, I think you're right, Mechusar Eiver is okay. Missing a limb. You bring an animal, a keves, missing an arm, it's okay. It doesn't say the word Teninim. Ledoiris, when it became part of the process of bringing the Tamid every single day, then the Tamimim, it has to be Tamimim. Okay, that's difference number one. Difference number two. Here, in Parashas Tetzav, it says, Es hakeves the he hayidia. Let me find the pasuk. It says, Es hakeves. Listen to the Balkari tomorrow. It's very easy to make a mistake, because if you say the Tamid every single day, you might make a mistake, because in Parshas Pinchas, there's no He Hayidia. It says, Es Keves Ho Echad. In Parshas Tamid? Pinchas, what does it say? Es?
Es HaKeves, Pasuk Perkokes.
Read the whole pasuk. Read the whole pasuk. Read the whole pasuk.
It says, Es HaKeves Ho Echad.
No, it can't be. Wait, one second. Give me 1 second. Okay. Parshas Pinchas, let me look it up. 4466. Okay, let me look. I looked at it this morning. Pasik Dalit. S. Hakeves echod. Echod. You're right, I made it on the word echod, not on the ho echod. That's the difference. But I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Right, the both hakeves the he haidia, but in Parshas Pinchas it says es hakeves echod. There is no he before the word echod. In Parshas Tetzaveh it says es hakeves ho echod. Right? That you agree. So what's going on? Why? You got to be very careful tomorrow when the Balkari, he leads his pasuk, he can very easily make a mistake and leave out that second hey. If he's daven every single day, he's saying with kavana, so you're not used to saying the letter hey, you can very easily swallow that letter hey. Okay, you'll still find people trying to chap the Balkari.
The hey by Rosh
Chodesh. The whole way around. The whole year round, you make sure you say it. Okay, so. So what's going on? Halay davar? What's going on? Why is it missing? And what about why the tamimim? Why there's no tamimim? So perhaps we can suggest this is that the two are totally zebzeh. Do you ever go to the bakery? Sometimes I go to the bakery and they have a little bulkalach. I don't know why. Little teeny ones. They have the regular ones, whatever they charge 50 cents. Once in a while they probably have, they probably were catering for someone and they have miniature. It's a very good idea. Many people, you know, you're sitting alone, you only have two bulkalach for the mitzvah, you just need one bulkalach, you have to have two full-size bulkalach. They have miniature bulkalach. Okay. A minute and they charge you 5 cents less. It's not proportional how much they charge you less for the miniature bulgalach. Then you can go to a chasana, And you have a challah that goes mamish from the end of the table. I'm sure you've all seen this, right? It goes from what? How do they fit this in the oven? What kind of ovens do they have for this? Okay, but yeah. Now let me ask you a shy. Let's say you go to a chasna hall and they have on the table, let's say it's Shabbos, and you have this massive, but someone came along and sliced the end. Just they sliced one little piece together. One of the waiters was starving, so he sliced a little piece. Who's going to notice? Yeah, I didn't fit on the table. Exactly. It didn't fit on the table. Like a Sodom. In Sodom. So you wanted to make it look good for the picture? They couldn't get the fork on. They sliced just a little slice off the end. So can you use it for Lechem Mishnah?
Name.
No.
Excuse me. By Satva, they say you could because it has Cheshivas. So if it's an expensive challah, I'm telling you, that's what they do with the Shvarim matzah. If you have only Shvarim, by the way.
Only Shvarim?
Yeah, if you have Shvarim, you can use it because they cost so much money. It has Cheshivas, you could use it.
I never heard that. I don't know. It's Shulch Baruch, it says Shem. Okay.
Because I worked with all these guys.
So you can take two Shvarim.
Okay, but B'derech Klal.
Which
Mishama? Derech Klal. If it's not Sholem, it's very nice. It's good for the pictures, but it's not real. You can't use it for the. You can't make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hazeh. You can't make the bracha on it. You can't. That's the halacha. Shulchan Aruch. You can't make the bracha. You have the two miniature. I'll take you to the bakery today. I'll show you the miniature little gulkalach, little miniature. But they're Sholem. They're complete. You can. What are they? It's a joke. They're little miniatures. Let's say they have a kazayas. They do have a kazayas, like a little cupcake, little teeny ones. The yaitza, you can make a bracha. Haloi dava. That's the halacha because when you tamim, Hashem tamim tia im Hashem elokecha. Hashem wants it to be tamim. So now we know the answer. In parshas titzadeh, there's no din tamimus. There's no din tamimus because before it was before Matan Torah. It was after Matan Torah. They built the Mishkan, the whole Shiloh, whatever. There's a whole Shiloh when they built it. I'm sorry. After Matan Torah, but it was before the requirement. Before they were given the requirement of tamimus. It says in the first look in the first no tamim because for the Chanukah Samizbeach maybe even Rashi calls it mechusreiver is okay. I'm missing. It's good. Oh, so it's. But you're going to bring on the Mizbeach. You're going to bring on the Mizbeach a keves that's missing an Eiver, a limb. Are you talking? You're right. We have to compensate. Ho Echot. But one and only. If it's going to be missing an Eiver, then you want to put on the Mizbeach this animal, it has to have the Hey Hayidia. Don't just bring an ordinary animal for 99 cents. You gotta bring a gigantic, gesunte, geschmacke animal. Oh, no, it's missing a finger. But it's choshev. It's choshev. That's good. That was good originally. But here's the look of the order. That was good. But now, after Klal Yisrael matured, and we were in the business of the Beis HaMikdash. And now we come to Parashas Pinchas. And now Hashem is laying out the rules of what's going to be L'doyrais, four generations, on a continual basis. Hashem says, I don't need anything fancy. Don't go bring me the Ho'echot. I don't need Yehei Hayidis. I want Tamim. Tamimos. You can bring me a cleaner little animal. It's Tamim. And that represents you. That's all I want from you. It's not a show. The world, Avodas Hashem, is not a Broadway show. It has to be the real deal. The beginning, the inauguration, it's for show. For show, the inauguration is ceremonial. You lay the cornerstone. Whoever doesn't look at the cornerstone again, people do look at the cornerstone, it's not really true. But who's going to look at ceremonial then? You can have the big scissors, the big ribbon, it's ceremonial. But L'doyrais... Tamimos, and once you got the Tamimos, I'm emphasizing that Hey Hayidia goes away. If you wouldn't have it, if you just have Parshas Pinchas, and you would have Tamimos, and you wouldn't have the Hey Hayidia, you wouldn't know the difference. But only by contrasting Parshas Pinchas with Parshas Tetzaveh, do you appreciate how Kadosh Baruch Hu says that if you have the Tamimos, I bedafka don't need the Hey Hayidia. It's a very important yisod. Okay, we are out of time. Have a wonderful Shabbos.